Brian looked at me again, and I opened my mouth to speak. "Dinner," Rita said, roaring into the room with a platter held between two large oven mitts. "I'm afraid it's not... I mean, it isn't actually burnt, but I didn't... It's just a little too dry, and... Aster, get the rice into the blue bowl. Sit down, Cody." Dinner was a cheerful affair, at least as far as the video warriors were concerned. Rita kept apologizing for the orange juice chicken, which, indeed, she really should have. It was one of her signature dishes, and she had let it overcook to the point of dryness. But Cody and Aster found it very funny that she was embarrassed and began to play her, with just a touch of cruelty. "It's dry," Cody said after Rita's third apology. "Not like usual." And he smirked at Brian. "Yes, I know, but I really am sorry, Brian," Rita said. "Oh, it's delicious. Think nothing of it, dear lady," Brian said. "Think nothing at all, dear mom," Aster echoed loftily, and she and Brian laughed. And so it went until dinner was over and the kids jumped up to clear the table, goaded on by the promise of 15 more minutes of wee before bed. Rita took Lillianne down the hall for a diaper change, and for just a moment, Brian and I faced each other across the table. This was the moment to speak, to bring things out in the open between us, and I leaned forward to seize it. "Brian," I said. "Yes," he said, raising his eyebrows expectantly. "Why have you come back?" I said, trying very hard not to sound like I was accusing him of something. He gave me a look of cartoon astonishment. "Why, to be with my family, of course," he said. "Why else?" "I don't know why else," I said, irritated even more. "But there must be something." He shook his head. "Why would you think that, brother?" he said. "Because I know you," I said. "Not really," he told me, locking his eyes onto mine. "You only know one small part of me. And I thought..." "Oh, damn," he said, as the tinny notes of Ride of the Valkyries swelled up from somewhere in his pocket. He pulled out his cell phone, glanced at the screen, and said, "Oh, my. I'm afraid I have to eat and run. As much as I've enjoyed talking with you, I'd better make my apologies to your lady wife." And he got quickly to his feet and swept into the kitchen, where I could hear him flinging his flowery compliments and apologies. The entire family followed him to the front door, but I managed to cut them off by stepping outside with Brian and firmly closing the door between them and my brother and me. "Brian," I said, "we need to talk a little more." He paused and turned to face me. "Yes, brother, let's," he said, a good old-fashioned chin wag. "Catch up with each other and all that. Tell me, how are you coming along with finding that missing girl?" I shook my head. "That's not what I mean," I said, determined to see this through to the end and drag things into the light. But once again, his phone began its frantic Wagnerian chorus, and he glanced at it and shut it off. "Another time, Dexter," he said. "I really do have to go now." And before I could protest, he patted me awkwardly on the shoulder and then hurried away to his car. I watched him drive away, and my only consolation was that the shoulder he had patted was still slightly damp from Lillianne's blarp.